Bibles and turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. If you don't know where Habakkuk is, go to the book of Matthew and turn left and just go back, and you will come to Malachi and Zechariah and Zephaniah, Haggai. Keep going left just a little bit, and Habakkuk will be there. If you can't find it that way, then you can go to the table of contents in your Bible and see what page number it is. I'm going to talk just a little bit about some things before you get there. Last week we ended off on our discussion of sharing God's love with everyone, discussing that we want to be people who engage others in the ongoing conversation that God is already having with them. We believe that as we share our faith, that's not the first time that person has had an encounter with God. God has put some experiences in their life, and what we are doing is being part of God's discussion as we share God's love with people. And we do that by investing in relationships. We're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning, about what that would look like. But I asked you to think about an individual or a family member that you would just over the next few months really just say, God, what part, how can I invest in them, and how can I share your love and engage them in the conversation that you are already talking to them about? And then we want to invite them into the experience of God's grace that we have experienced, invite them to church, invite them to different things. And what I'm going to share with you today is kind of a roadmap of where we're going to be going as a body of believers, because I believe that part of our responsibility on Sunday mornings is to be part of the flow of God's conversation. And we talk about on Sunday mornings things that God wants to do in your life and in my life and through the body of Christ. And then as you're investing in these relationships, how can I use what I take on Sunday mornings, and whether it be in Life Connection or in the worship service, and work that into my life? And this passage in Habakkuk is actually my favorite passage of Scripture when it comes to me as a pastor. I believe this really highlights what I believe God has told to me personally is my role as a pastor and a teacher of what we should do. Let me share some other exciting things before we actually read the Word of God. This week we had district conference, and in the midst of the tedious work of wordsmithing and things of resolutions that came forward and stuff, we had a missions luncheon. And at that mission luncheon, there's some very exciting things that are happening. We heard John Croft, who is the new Jesus Film Partnership head, talk about some exciting opportunities. You know, the Jesus Film is the number one method of evangelism and church planting around the world. And on average right now, there are 3 Wesleyan churches planted every 2 weeks because of the Jesus Film ministry. I want you to hear that. 3 churches planted every 2 weeks around the world. And there are some exciting things that are happening, and you are a part of it. He told us that in August, we have the unique opportunity, actually have been invited to go into the country of Cuba and show the Jesus Film in a wide open arena. This is new territory for that. And the individuals that are going to be going and taking and training the team going into in August are Rick West and John Connor. And here's where you come in, because you have invested in them in the faith promise giving for 15, 20 years in that. And when you started that investment, God knew that in 2012 of August, God already knew he was going to be preparing and working the resources and a partnership for people to go into Cuba to share the message of Christ. But he didn't stop there. He talked about another country that we're going into that the Wesleyans have not taken the Jesus Film into. And he talked about the country of Panama. And there was actually an offering taken amongst the 200 people or so that were there at that banquet. And they were saying, we need, I think the number was about $6,500 to buy the equipment, new equipment, and they would like to have that by November for the missionaries that are going back into Panama, for them to go ahead and take it. And the equipment, by the way, it's incredible. It's about this big is all that you need for all the different things to show the Jesus Film And he mentioned, we want to send those back with the missionaries that are going back. And those missionaries are none other than Perry and Nancy Hubbard that are going to Panama, that Concordia Wesleyan Church has supported through our faith promise giving. Continue to pray for the Hubbards. Nancy had a recurrence of cancer, and she's just finishing up her chemotherapy. And she's saying, we're going to go back into Panama, and we're going to share the Jesus film. By the way, that offering with about 200 people came up to $6,700. So we have all the money that we need to buy that equipment and get all the training and things that is necessary for that team to go into it. I, as your pastor, because of your faithfulness and faith promise giving and our commitment to share God's love with everyone, was able to commit $500 toward that offering. And so I want to thank you for your faith promise giving. And we have not only support the Hubbards, but you supported through your faith promise giving the purchase of the equipment and the Jesus film and the training of the team to go into that. As you leave the sanctuary today, there's going to be a table in the back here, and Norva Allison is going to be manning that table. This is an Ecuadorian basket from Ecuador with candy from Ecuador in, and these were some of the centerpieces at the table at that banquet. And Norva had shared about that what they've done is they purchased these baskets and somebody else purchased the candy for it. And, you know, we've been involved, and several people, Ron Walker has been a part of building the structure of the ministry center there in Ecuador, but they need to furbish that and have that. And the nursery was very lacking. And so the ladies came up with this idea, if we could sell these for a $30 donation, the proceeds of that then would go to help furbish the church nursery in Ecuador. Although we had an incredible offering of $6,700 for the Jesus film, I noticed that there were several baskets that were left over. And I told Norva, bring those. I said, we will sell these baskets today. Now, what $30, and there's six of them, so they're going to go quick if you would like to do that. If you really don't want an Ecuadorian basket with candy, just give money to Norva and just do it. But here's what, if you really don't want the basket, here's what another way that you can do. Buy the basket, buy the candy. I like the basket, but I'm trying to lose weight, so I don't care for the candy. So I bought this basket, and I'm going to, there's someone that God has put on my heart. And I'd ask you to pray for me as I go and give this person that doesn't go to church, and just to say, I thought of you as I got this basket. I'm going to use it. And let me tell you what this basket represents. It represents our friendship, but it also represents some kids in a foreign country that need love. And I'm believing that God will use that as an inroads into that individual's life as I'm trying to invest in a relationship and be sensitive to what God wants me to do. I don't know why God put that person on my mind, but I just thought, that's what I'm going to do with it. And God, I'm going to just trust you with the results. And if they think it's a little awkward, so be it. Okay? Anyway. So exciting things. So you can get that those baskets for the Ricard Ministry Center Nursery today. Let's look in Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and would you stand in honor of the Word of God? Again, a passage of Scripture that has greatly impacted how I believe God has called me to teach and how He wants His Word taught. I will stand my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Lord, today as we come and we put ourselves under the Word of God, we are living by faith. We believe that you have a word for us. We believe that word will energize our spirits. It will change and transform our thinking and our mind. We believe that you have a word for us to obey today. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and for a willing heart. God, create in us hearts that want to follow you in obedience in everything we do. In Jesus' name, Amen. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time. I could spend a whole lot of time on this passage. But as I try to communicate God's word, one day I was reading this, and this is what God spoke to me. David, this is what people need to hear. The vision has been given. It is in God's word. God's plan and his purpose is revealed. And I want you, as a pastor teacher, to record that. And as you record it, you write it down. You write it in simple ways that people can really understand and remember what is being taught. Because my word is not given for information. My word is given for transformation. And it really doesn't matter how eloquent your talk is and how you can wow people and whether people thought you did a good job today talking to other people. What really matters and the most sacred point of any service is how the people respond to the vision of God for their life. That's really what's, you know, we say this is a worship service. Actually, we worship and the service really happens as we leave here and we take what God has done for us as he has ignited his spirit within our spirit and through singing and through prayer and for fellowship and through his word, and then we go take and apply it, because you write it down clearly so that the one who reads it or the one who hears it is able to run with it. And so that's why we always come to the end. What is the so what of why we have gathered? How does this apply? If you leave every Sunday thinking, somebody else really ought to hear that, you're missing it. How do I take the Word of God and work it into my daily life? And as I am running with it, I am a messenger. Last week we saw we are ambassadors. We're running with purpose. We're running to other people to share. Take your experience of God's grace and share it with other people. I wanted to share this passage of Scripture with you and just lightly touch on it, because the next few months, with very intention and purpose, we're going to be talking about some topics that you have friends, you have people that need to hear the message along with you, and that you're going to be investing in their relationships, and you're going to be bringing them with you to the 9:15 service. You're going to be inviting them and asking them and investing in that relationship and engaging them in the spiritual discussion that God wants to have with them. And he's going to use you as his ambassador, as his spokesman, to engage that conversation with them. And I hope, and I have asked you to pray for me or whoever is bringing the message that day, that they can do it in such a way that it adds to the conversation and adds to the questions, and then puts you strategically in their life to help unpack the conversation that God is having with them. You have in your sermon notes Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. We saw that last week, and we looked at it last week, but let's look at it again today, and let me read that for you. It's in your sermon notes. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so you will know how to respond, or how you should respond, to each person. Now, as Paul wrote these words to the church of Colossae, he was in prison. He didn't plant this church. One of his partners, one of his friends, Epaphras, did. And Epaphras came back and he shared some incredible things about how the Colossian church was obeying and believing God. But he also expressed some concerns. And the concern was that they were moving away from the basic teaching of Christ and his deity and who he was. And they were being infiltrated by false doctrine. And so Paul writes this word to kind of set them straight. And Colossians chapter 1 has incredible Christology. It talks about the deity of Christ and who he is and how Christ is over our church. Some of the greatest teaching about who Jesus Christ is. And then in chapter 2, he says, what does it look like for us to be under Christ's kingdom? He is the king. He is the one who is set above all things, and as part of his kingdom, what does that mean in the spiritual world for you? And then he moves into the end of chapter 2 and into chapter 3. What does it mean in your interpersonal relationships? What does your home life look like? What is your character? What are your words like? How do you clothe yourself with humility? And he talks about what it means as God begins through Christ to transform our heart. Then in chapter 4, he makes a switch. Because he says our life in Christ is never just about how it changes us. He moves to those that are not yet in the family of God. Those who are outside the family. And he says if you're under Christ's kingdom, you're going to share Christ's heart. Your life is going to be with the impulse and the heartbeat of God who sent his son into this world because he loved him. Jesus Christ himself who said, I came to seek and to save those that were lost. With a little bit of license of interpretation, what Jesus was saying, what I'm going to seek and to save, he said, I'm going to engage people in spiritual conversation. I'm going to invest in their lives by giving my life for them. And I'm going to invite them into the experience of God's grace. And you and I are called to be transformed to the image and the heart of Christ himself. To engage people in the spiritual conversations that is taking place around you. To invest in building relationships and invite others into their experience of God's grace. Now, out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, you can get a lot of truth out of here. Let me share just two simple things that he is calling, that God, Paul's writing, is calling the Colossian church to do, and I believe calling you and me to do. He says, if you're going to do this, talk to God about people. Pray. Pray diligently. And as you pray, be alert and be thankful. Be thankful for the people that God has put in your life. Sharing God's love, as we talked about last week, is really the overflow of a grateful heart. And we realize what God has done for us, that God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. And if that is true, we ought to want everyone we come in contact with to experience that for themselves. And we ought to talk about it. Now, here's what things that really matter to you in life, you know what we do? We talk about them. People get a new diet, they talk about it. People get a new job they really, really like, they talk about their job. You get a new grandbaby, you talk about it, you show it. And the things that matter in your life, you talk about. So talk to God about the people in your life he has put around you. Pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. And don't forget to us that God will open doors for the telling the mystery of Christ. Even while I'm locked up in this jail, pray that every time I open my mouth, I will be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Here's what Paul is saying. Engaging God in conversation, praying to God. Prayer is central to leading people to Christ. You will be more aware of God's placement of you in this world. I like that phraseology. God has placed you in this world for a reason. He has placed you around people to show God's grace to them. Those he has placed around you to influence, the opportunities they have, the voice you have in their life. Here's the truth. You are where God needs you to be. Did you hear that? You are where God needs you to be to help reach this world for Christ. And the world needs us to be where God has placed us. It's an incredible part of God's truth, who is a God of design. If God has given you children and you are a parent, God has placed you in that child's life for a reason and a purpose to influence them. If God has given you a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law, God has placed you in their life for a purpose and to help direct them and to help engage them in spiritual discussion and for you to invest in their personal life. Now, I've adopted 3 kids. People said we're crazy. Maybe so. That's not the final test, though. I was probably crazy before then. And although that was a choice, literally, that was a heart that God had put within my wife before we were married. It was a calling of God. And when I get frustrated and exasperated and wonder whether it's worth it and whether maybe we made the biggest mistake in our life, which doesn't happen very often, I turn in gratitude to God and say, God, thank you that these kids come under the influence of Christian parenting. Thank you that they come under the influence of a church that loves and share God's love with everyone. Now, in case you didn't think we were crazy for doing that, we're doing something else that's crazy. Happened all of a sudden just last week. We're going to have a foreign exchange student come. 15 years, 9 months. Her name is Fernanda. She's involved in her church and her group, but my wife kind of just looked at that and said, we have the room. Is there a reason why we don't do this? Listen, part of my processing this is if we don't do it, she's going to go to someone else's home, and they may not have the influence spiritually upon her as we do. Now, we can't take every kid, and we can't do all that, but we can do, and I believe that God has made a strength in our life out of our family. I can honestly tell you, taking 3 more kids into our life has brought my wife and I closer together. You don't do it for that reason. But listen, we knew going in, it would challenge our strengths and it would test our weaknesses. Whenever you do things for God, your strengths are going to be challenged and your weaknesses are going to be exposed. But as you work together and as you say, God, this is what we're going to do, and you begin to rely upon God, He gives you more than what you could ever do. This week, we had a speaker on Thursday for the ministers at the ministerial conference, and he says, if you are here today, you come into contact, majority of you, and it was something like 80% will come to you every day, you come into contact with a Buddhist or a Muslim, just through the course of your everyday activity. And everyone says, how is that? I don't know any Muslims. I really don't know any Buddhists. He says, by the clothes you wear. Over 80% of the clothing that we have is made by either someone in the Buddhist culture or Muslim culture. My shirt is made in Indonesia. Over 90% Muslim country. Chances are the shirt that I'm wearing comes from someone who is in the Muslim faith. My shoes are from China, very likely a Buddhist or the yin and yang of Taoism. And he goes, well, as you put on your clothes, begin to have a sensitivity to those around you and begin looking at, as I have begun done, to say, God, there's some people right now, you're doing a work right now in China. I thank you for Peter and Brenda Burgos, who represent as well. But more than that, I thank you for Wendell Rovenstein, who's doing Bibles to China. I thank you for the work of the Gideons that is sending Bibles into there. And as you begin to be alert and be aware, and you thank God for what He's doing in other places on a regular basis, it begins to say, God, you're also wanting to do some things here in North Central Kansas. You wanted to do things at the community college, at the school, at the place that I work. You want at the co-op. All those various things help me to be sensitive to the work and help me to remember and put these things to talk about you. Some of you, and I'm not going to ask for raised hands, we have these little butterscotches out here that we have in here. And I know some people in this service eat them because I've picked up a few of the wrappers that you left on the table. Okay. Those are just kind of a welcome center, and people get a bag of our church and stuff. And I'm not saying don't eat the butterscotches, okay? I'm really not saying. But as you do that, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Say, God, someone's going to come into our church today. And they may be looking for hope. They may not know why they're here. Or they may be looking for a church home. And God, as I eat this butterscotch, and I love it, I pray for who else is ever going to come through the doors of this church. I pray for the other people that are regular attenders that eat butterscotch candies. Begin to have a sensitivity and cues in your life to be aware and to stay alert of the activity of God around you. Paul was in prison, but he's not focused on himself. He's focused on God's plan. His prayer wasn't, God, get me out of here and I'll pay you back by spreading your word. His prayer wasn't, God, I will share your word if you only got me out of this prison. I think a good question that we are at is, what limitations do you have to sharing God's word? And will you live by faith? The righteous will live by faith to say, God, I believe that you are so great, even with these perceived limitations that I have. I am trusting you that you have placed me as your ambassador, as your messenger in this world. Pray that God would open the door of opportunity around me so I could tell others about Jesus. And why do we pray? The scripture shows it so clearly. It is God that creates the opportunities. I have to be willing, but it is God that opens the door. See, there are some that won't pray this prayer. There's some that will see it. It will be clearly on tablets, not of stone, but in writing and in thing, and you won't pray the prayer. And here's why you won't pray the prayer. Because you don't think God will answer it. And I'll say the righteous live by faith. Believe that God will answer it. Or you don't believe that God would actually use you. If people really knew my past, God, look in the Bible, see some of the people of sordid past and the things they have in there. And the people that God has used. The only people that God doesn't use primarily is those that say, I don't think God will use me. You know what? You can fulfill your own prophecy rather than fulfilling the prophetic word of God in your life through disobedience. There may be some that won't pray this prayer, not because you don't think God won't answer it, or you don't think God could use you. You won't pray the prayer because you're afraid he will answer it. And you know what? I believe he will. May not happen tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday. It may not happen next week. But if you consistently pray this prayer, I think that we'll find out. God is much more aware of those around us that need Christ than we're aware of. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, 19 to 20, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. The good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Paul says, the New American Standard Version says, pray that I can make it clear. And isn't that the pressure that we have? If we have this opportunity, am I really going to be able to make it clear, or am I going to stumble over myself and embarrass myself and in effect embarrass God? Listen, this is a work of the Spirit of God. You cannot share God's love really with anyone. What we are asking God to do is this, and what God is wanting to do, is that we speak to a spirit that is dead, separated and enemy of God, and it is the Holy Spirit that comes in and gives life to them and reveals to them. In fact, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, before it tells that we are ambassadors and messengers of Christ, it says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that don't know Christ. And so God has put his light. The light is going to show in the darkness, and we have it in earthen vessels. And how does that light shine? We're pressed and we're crushed and we're shipwrecked and we have suffering and we have all of these things. But out of it all, out of these broken down vessels of you and me who ourselves needed a Savior, God's light shines forth. Let people into your life. We're not good at this, but God is really good at it. Pray for clarity. Secondly, after talking to God about people, talk to people about God. Live wisely among those who are not. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. I think this is why it's important for us to pray with gratitude and being alert. We are drawn to people who are positive, but have their feet grounded in reality. You guys know about Winnie the Pooh? The cast of Winnie the Pooh? if someone in your life is an Eeyore. Oh, bother. You just don't really get excited about seeing them. And I'm afraid that a lot of people come into contact with those of us that have accepted Christ. And we look at the political scene and the world scene, and we seem more like Eeyores. Oh, bother. But God is on the throne. One day we'll be delivered from it all. Listen, we have this treasure. We're going to be talking in the next few weeks about how God used His people that shined their light in political circumstances that were totally against God. But God did some of His greatest work, and He revealed some of His greatest truths in the midst of a heathen nation that didn't honor God to people that did. Conduct yourself wisely. Why? Because the time is short. Let your conversation always be gracious. How do we make the best use of our time? We talk. We speak to people. We engage them in the ongoing conversation God is having with them. And over time, these people come to know Jesus one conversation at a time. Here's why you need to be at the swimming pool on August 11th. People are going to come and they're going to say, hey, have you met, and let me just pick on you right here, have you met Steve and Krista Bryant? Here they are. And it's not like, if you were to die tonight, would you have the assurance of salvation? What you're doing is you're able to introduce them and greet other people that have been brought or that are new to the church into others that have experienced the same thing. And people will live. The message of salvation won't clearly, probably, it's not planned to be talked that night. But people will come into contact with people that are experiencing God's grace and are loving each other, building one another up. And if there are new people that come to us, that would come to a swimming party, that won't come to a church service, say, there's something different. There's something going on there. And it would fulfill what Jesus said Himself, that the world will know that I am sent by the Father, by the love that they have for one another. Just really, as we kind of work down through this, He says, let your conversation or your speech be seasoned with salt, as it were. The commentators really say what this really means. It doesn't mean to preserve and stuff. It says, be witty, be pleasant. Just the salt brings out the flavor in the world. Let your conversation bring out the flavor and the zest of the grace of God in your life. What He's saying here is that your attitude is as important as the message. We've heard it all said before. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. One commentator says that seasoned with salt literally means to be designates the wit that gives zest and liveliness to conversation. Here's what Paul is saying. When you talk about Christ, come alive. Come alive and let people see that you're alive in Christ. We sang the song today about taste and see. That's a scripture. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so in your conversation, give people the taste of grace that comes from the joy and humility you have from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Give them a taste of the hope of what hope looks like when you talk about your failures and mistakes in parenting or in marriage. Give them a taste of what a God-centered marriage can look like, and faithfulness and trust and commitment. Give them a taste of faith and courage as you're walking through conflict. Give them a taste of love when you sacrificially serve them in their practical needs. Give them a taste of wisdom when you talk about God's design for marriage and purity. Give them a taste of grace. Various scriptures that tell us to do this. So, how do I engage, invest, and invite others into the experience of God's grace? Three quick things here. Love them. Makes sense. And as you love them, have 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 as a template in your mind that love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never fails. Is always hopeful and always endures through every circumstance. As you invest in relationships, say, God, give me your heart for this person. Whatever that means, help me to love as Jesus loved. Help me to forgive as Jesus gave. You see, in order to do this, we're going to need God to continue to do a greater work in our own hearts and lives. This isn't about just changing others with the gospel. It's about God sanctifying and setting us apart as His and being conformed to the image of Christ. As you read the Gospels and you see how Jesus interacts, and you have the phrase that says, man, I wouldn't do that. Oh, God, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I have touched the leper? God, I want to love like you loved. So give me this heart, God. And as you love them, you listen to them. You listen to them. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Proverbs 18:13 reminds us that when we answer before listening, that is folly and shame. And sometimes I think we have a tendency to give answers before we hear the questions. Here's what I believe. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. In fact, as I say that, last Saturday I got a letter. Some of you know her. Faye worked in Clay Center, Kansas. 94 years of age. The reason she wrote this letter is I was her pastor 20 years ago. And she said, I was going through some of my papers, and forgive me for my writing because I'm almost totally blind. I had trouble with her eyesight. But she says, 20 years ago, you had me write down my story of how I came to Christ. And I came across it again. And I've made copies for all of my children, and I've given them to my current pastor now. And I just want to thank you, because that was an important step in my faith, that I had a story to share with others. Listen, I could talk for probably till noon today about how Faye had spoken into my heart and life. Here was a lady who was in her 70s, who was our youth Sunday school teacher. And you know why she was teaching youth? She loved those kids and she listened to them. I remembered one kid, her name was Amber, that when they found out that Faye, she wasn't going to have a blind old lady teach her. And Faye handled that with grace. And she would write Amber notes. She would remember her birthday. She would see her at a church and go up and just love on her. Listen, there was a day that came over time that if we would have said, Faye, we think you're too old now. You can't teach the youth Sunday school class. You want to guess who the first person who would stand in opposition? Amber. She learned to love Faye, who didn't think had anything to offer her, who broke the norm. Why? Because Faye loved her, and she listened to her, invited her in to experience the grace that God had put in her life. You see, being listened to is so close to the emotion of feeling loved that most people can't tell the difference. Have your ear to the ground. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to the questions behind the questions. And when you are someone who will listen, you are in a position to influence, to lead. They will sense in their own spirit, they know me, they love me. And as a result, I invite them to speak into my life. And so that's the last L here. Lead them. Lead people. Now, this is the Message paraphrase, but I love how it just unpacks this and expounds upon it. Even though I'm free from the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience from their point of view. I have become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did this all because of the message. I just didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Here's what the scripture reminds us. Take responsibility to lead in the spiritual conversations. Don't just let those who are disengaged from Christ determine the course of the discussion. Lead. Ask God to give you. Ask God to be that person that steers the conversation to spiritual things. And you don't have to say it all at once. But keep track of your conversations. Come back to it and refer to it in your life. And we want to help with the conversation. You see, God has placed us in life together. And in the back of your sermon notes, you have a template for where we're going to be going as a congregation through the end of the year. Next week, you're going to have the opportunity and the privilege for Pastor Josh to speak to us. And he has an idea and a topic of what he's going to be talking about is, you know, where is God in all the chaos of happening if God continues leaving this way? But listen, some people will come that you can invite to say, come hear a new youth pastor speak. Now, we can sit here and we can say, well, that's really not a reason to come to church. Listen, I don't care why people come to the church on the surface. I care why you come to church. But for those that don't know Christ or aren't engaged in a church family, I thank God for every hearing I get. Let me tell you this. I don't even care if they came because they like one of our youth. You know, a youth comes because they like them. Because they at least they're in a place where God can speak and grab hold of their heart and all of a sudden give them a reason that is far greater than that. I don't care if you come to the service because this is your preferred music thing. What does that matter about? Listen, you come here, and people in the second service come, because maybe it's something different, but they have an opportunity for God to begin speaking to their life and to say, I have something greater for you than a different experience in worship. We've talked about the swim. Come to that. Invite your friends. Invite the neighborhood kids to that. Be there and introduce yourself. And then we're going to start the Daniel series, Living Courageous in Turbulent Times. How many times do you have people to talk about how turbulent the world is? Where is this coming? What's happening in America? Well, we're going to start talking about some of those things in our life and how God can continue to give us stability and courage in those situations. We have financial peace that is starting up. If you know someone that is hurting financially, just let them know. Maybe you want to come alongside of them and to say, hey, if I help pay that $100 for the stuff, would you go to it? Would you be a part? If I paid $50, would you pay $50? And you go and be a part of that, and they would interact with other believers that know Christ. On August the 19th, we're going to have a Back in Our Schools Day. We're going to pray for the administration and the staff of our schools and the students. We're going to collect prayer requests in a generic sense, and so you can pray throughout the school year. We're going to pray for those that are homeschooled in the homes and things, because we believe that God has called us to pray and to make a difference in our world. And then on the 26th, we're going to have another baptism. We have several people that are already going to be, and you're going to hear their stories. What a great day to invite someone that doesn't know Christ as they see the experience of God's grace. In the month of September, we'll continue the Daniel series, but on September 5th, our FW friends in Route 56, I want to say not only be praying about that and pray for the leaders, maybe you want to consider being a part of it. If you don't know how to engage in someone in spiritual discussion, I got a great plan for you. Sign up to help an FW Friends in Route 56, because what we talk about is spiritual things. And maybe you'll learn some gifts and some abilities and some questions and trust upon God to be speaking into a child's life about spiritual things. Talk to Christy Schrader about being involved in Sunday school. Or maybe one of you want to say, you know, I want to be a part of teaching a life connection at 10:45 because I think we can reach more people and stuff. Begin putting yourself in a situation. You know why I'm having this spiritual discussion with you? Because there was a day when I answered the call of God, and when I answered the call to God specifically to Concordia Wesleyan Church. Or I wouldn't have this discussion with you. Put yourself in a place to be used. At this time, you should be clapping and saying, yeah, that's right, Pastor. That's what we want to do. But listen, if we're not going to put ourselves in places where we need to talk about things spiritually, then at least stop saying we want to share God's love with everyone. Hello? You will live what you believe. You will live what matters most to you. The thing we have to decide what we're going to run with is what matters most to me in life. In October, because we're going to have this back to church Sunday, I want to get the congregation to begin calling people that we know of that are disengaged from this particular church to call them. And there's a national day of back to church Sunday and say, we want to invite you once again. We've missed. Is there any way that we can pray for you? And then I'm going to start a series and we're going to collect. I'm going to ask for your input in it. What are topics that you think you want to hear about? Talk to people that don't go to church. What topic? If there was a particular topic you could hear about, anything, what would it be? So it's a You Ask For It series. You'll see in November, we have Reaching Our Arms Around the World, our missions emphasis and what's happening. We have some incredible things coming up there. And then in December, we're going to use as our theme. Last year, we had joy. This year, we're going to have hope. We're going to have Christmas service. We'll have Christmas dinner again on December the 25th, a great time for you to invite. Listen, there is no reason for you not to be engaged in people that are disengaged from Christ or disengaged from the church. I believe God is speaking to us as a church to be the church outside these walls as well. And the best I can, I think, as I've tried to hear from God, I've tried to make it clear so the one who reads it or hears it can run with it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you right now are involved in the homes right now of people that don't know Christ, don't know hope, only know sin. And I thank you that we're going to come into contact with some of them this week. And we remember that we once were exactly like that. And it's because of what you've done in our life, what you've called us to be a greater purpose, not to settle for things that only affect our world, but affect the world around us. Father, I pray that if we haven't by now, that you would this week stir us up, make us lose sleep until we come to that person that we agree with you. I am purposely, with intention, going to be inviting them into the experience of God's grace in my life. And Father, may we be the quickest to talk about and to think about what you're doing as you answer our prayer. Father, for your glory, we wouldn't do this if we weren't assured of your help, your mercy, your grace, and your call. And today, we invite your kingdom to be increased in my heart, and the heart of those that have heard the message. And may that be seen in those that are turning their hearts back to Christ in a world that is in chaos. In Jesus' name, amen.